When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hear the wolf screaming lonely in the night. Hear the blood stain on the stage. Jesus. There is no cure.
This is the Decibel Geek Podcast with Aaron Camaro and Chris Sinzak.
Yes, we did it. We survived the apocalypse and we're back. This is the Decibel Geek Podcast. I'm Aaron Camaro. This is Chris Sinzak.
Now, wait a minute. The Mayans didn't figure in leap year, so we might be screwed in a couple of days.
However, that's how I look at it now. Whatever. As long as we got cool rock and roll to listen to, just like the apocalyptic stuff of last week, we're going to be okay.
Yeah,
and
that was
today, we're going to definitely be okay.
Yeah, last week was a lot of fun. We had some good feedback from that. But this week, you know, it's giving time of the season. And
that's right. We survived the apocalypse. That means one thing. Time for Christmas.
Yeah, and a lot of shows will end up doing, you know, Christmas specials, but we don't do it that way.
No, we're all backwards from everybody else. You guys know that. We do Christmas in July, so we can't do Christmas at Christmas.
No, this time we're going to do something that has been requested for pretty much since the inception of the show.
Since the very beginning of the Decibel Geek Podcast, the fans have asked again and again, when will you do a Motley Crue special? Well, Merry Christmas. It's time for a very Motley Christmas.
I'm glad I got you around to hype it up. You're
Isn't
so
that
much
great?
Better at it than me. Hey, we're doing a Motley Crue show.
I channeled my inner movie guy for that one.
Don Pardo. All right, but yeah, this will be fun today. And let's go ahead and say how we're going to do this. You know, Motley released, overall 9 full-length studio albums.
9 kick-ass albums.
And they've released a lot of compilations and box sets and stuff like a lot of classic rock bands do, but we're going to stick to the 9 studio albums and also the bonus EP from the 94 Karabi era.
Right, because what we did, we drew albums more or less, and then we're each going to pick a song off that album. Chris drew the shortest straw, and so he got to pick from all the extra stuff, you know, and he picked something off of Quaternary.
Yeah, because Quaternary, you know, those of you that are listening that are diehard Motley fans, and I signed up for the Motley Shout board just a couple of days ago to solicit questions from the real crew heads, the diehards. Because, you know, me and Aaron,
they know what's up.
We like Motley a lot, but I don't think we can hold a candle to these guys. So I was like, let's hear what the diehards really think. And Quaternary came up pretty regularly, and a lot of the diehards love it. But if you're not a diehard crew fan, I think you're going to be surprised how good the stuff on that EP is.
Yeah, and you may have heard it in the intro here. That bittersweet song came off of Quaternary, and it's Mick Mars at his best. I mean, beautiful song, but it still rocks.
Yeah, that's. But we'll get to that lineup
later. Before we get to the Motley and Potatoes of the episode, let's go ahead and pick out our Geek of the Week. And as a matter of fact, we are kind of not on the case with this.
Yeah, we're doing this on the fly.
So we tell you guys week after week, all you got to do is like the Facebook page and make some comments. You know, become a part of the conversation with us about hard rock and heavy metal. And there's plenty to talk about on the Facebook page. And more or less what we're going to do is just pick out somebody that we think sounds good or looks cool or has something fun to say or whatever. You know, and here we are. We haven't picked nobody, so fire up the Facebook page. Let's see what we got here.
So I went on our Facebook page, other than the Motley Shout board, and I, you know, solicited responses from the Decibel Geek Army, as we like to call you guys.
Picking Geek of the Week on the fly.
And I did. If you had to pick just one track from each Motley studio album, what would you pick? And the first guy that responded, he's going to be our Geek of the Week this week.
Gino Ames, and he says, "Too Fast for Love is just amazing. I often tell people that Motley is my Zeppelin. in the 80s, anything Crew did, everyone else did 20 minutes later. I agree with that.
They were, I mean, they were pretty big pioneers at the time. You know, they would set a standard, and then everybody would fall in line and copy them, and then Motley would switch things up on them and change it again. So they definitely were trendsetters in the 80s. So Gino,
just when you think you know all the answers, Motley Crue changes the questions.
That's right. So Gino Ames from I think it's Florida, I believe. You know, enjoy being Geek of the Week. Thanks for the comment, and yes, that's all there is to it, folks. Just go on there.
Simple as that. You too could be Geek of the Week, just like our friend Gino Ames, and enjoy the power of the glory and the prestige of being Geek of the Week.
That's right.
Friend.
And also, on the subject of the Facebook page, if you are a fan on the Facebook page, you will see the exclusive link that we do to our bonus track feature that we do every week.
Yeah, maybe some people
take a week off here and there, but
we try to stay consistent with that. But what SoundCloud is more or less just Chris and I bullshitting about something for
a few short minutes. Yeah, and then the newest one that's up now is a discussion of the recent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, and
we get bastards.
Yeah, we get a little passionate about it.
Oh, sorry about that.
Gino, thanks for the suggestion. And you mentioned Too Fast for Love is just amazing. Why don't we start with Too Fast for Love?
Yeah, why not? You know, it's a great album. You know, and just like Gino says, you know, his Motley Crue is his Led Zeppelin. You know what? To me, I kind of feel the same way, you know, of my generation where I grew up. And Too Fast for Love is just an amazing album. It's so hard to just pick one song off of there because they're all so good.
Yeah, this is the debut album released in 81, originally released on their own before they even got a record deal. They did it the DIY way.
You know, and that's kind of what I like about this album so much. It's because it's young, hungry Motley Crue. We talk about that with Kiss on their first couple albums, how, you know, when they were young and hungry, you know, they weren't rock stars yet, they weren't millionaires yet, they were still young and trying to get there, and it shows through the music. So this one's no exception. You guys know it, you love it, crank it up. It's Motley Crue, it's Christmas, so enjoy Merry-Go-Round.
You know he's gotta get away. Waits home alone just to love him through the night.
Merry-Go-Round off of Too Fast for Love, Motley Crue, the debut album. That's a great song. There's a lot of good songs on that one.
I love Vince Neil's vocals on that first album, especially that song.
Yeah, on some of the responses that I got, I just got, while we go along, I want to read some of the responses we got from the Motley Shout Board and from our listeners. On the Shout Board, looks like Too Fast for Love. You had a couple picks for Stick to Your Guns, Livewire, yeah. Toast of the Town. All great songs.
That's what we're going to run into, I think, with all of this is... Basically, it's Motley Crue. You can pick just about any song from just about any album, and yeah. It's going to kick ass.
And also, you know, and Livewire is kind of an obvious choice, but, you know, because it was the single. We're, as everybody knows with our show, we try to not do this the
right.
Singles,
we so. Like to dig a little bit deeper than that.
Classic rock radio does a good job of playing the singles.
Well, probably not enough when it comes to Motley Crue, but...
But, you know, we will give you some stuff that you may not have heard, you know. So, next, and we're not going in any... We're just going in more of a random order when these were released.
What album did you draw?
Girls, Girls, Girls.
Nice.
Not my favorite Crue record. You know, some people, the band members themselves, as we discussed with Toby Wright in the interview, because he was an engineer on this album under Tom Werman, who did all their early records.
Yeah.
This album in particular got a lot of hate from Nicky in particular about how he didn't like the so-called sanitized sound that Werman brought, but and he gets that a lot from artists that he's worked with.
Well, and the thing is with this, and it's, you know, everybody's, if anybody's read The Dirt, they know the story. You know, if anybody's read, you know, the Heroin Diaries, you know the story.
This was the peak.
Motley Crue is in rough shape at the time Girls comes out, and, you know, they're all effed up, you know, they're all messed up all the time. And so to go back in retrospect and say, man, you know, the production on that album should have been a little bit better. Yeah. Well, maybe, you know, sitting in the closet doing heroin would have been a better idea to be out there checking out what's going on in the production room.
I mean, they were a tad snowblind, you know what I mean.
Totally, back in those days.
Totally. So recorded at One-on-One Recording Studios in November, from November to March of 87. It peaked at number 2 on the Billboard charts. On the week that it peaked, it could have reached number 1, but Whitney Houston, another fellow drug user, reached number 1 with the Whitney debut album. Mm. So, but that's what was going on at that time.
This album meant a lot to me when I was a kid.
Really?
I was pretty young when this came out, and I remember actually hearing Girls, Girls, Girls on the radio and just being like, wow.
Wild Side is what pulled me in.
Yeah, because after I heard Girls, I had to have the album. Yeah. And I'm talking about the album, the LP. I'm a pretty young kid at this time. And so, you know, I got the album and it was amazing. That's when Wild Side and Dancing on Glass and, you know, all these other great songs that are on there. This was an album that was real important to my childhood.
Introspective album for Nicky, who was writing at the time. You know, Dancing on Glass is not about stripping. It's about addiction to heroin.
Right.
And No One O was about, I think, his grandmother passing away. So there was a
lot
of dark stuff at the time.
And that crazy ballad. What was the crazy
ballad? Oh, You're All I Need. It's basically about a lover's grisly murder.
That's one of my favorite ballads of all time.
Oh, mine too. And if we do a Valentine's show, that might have to get some play.
Now, look. Now, after all this discussion, maybe you got a little bit more appreciation for Girls.
Maybe.
Girls,
I do. I like all Motley albums, but this one's not quite my favorite. But
so what'd you pick?
I picked a track off here that had some great guitar playing from Mick Mars, although they all do.
But, I was going to say, don't they all?
This is track 8 on the album. This is called Something for Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, you picked a good one there. That is probably my favorite song on that album.
Yeah, there's nothing glammy about that track. That's a blues-based rocker.
Right. That Girls, Girls, Girls album is a dirty, dirty album.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's why I like it so much.
Cool.
Speaking of dirty albums, maybe in a different way, kind of a, maybe not dirty, maybe a little more grungy.
Uh-huh.
Is that the word, grungy?
For when it came out, I guess 1997. It was an attempt at being grungy, maybe.
Yeah, 1997 brings Motley Crue to kind of a strange place. All four original members are back together now. This is after John Corabi replaces Vince Neil, and then later on Vince Neil re-replaces John Corabi and is right. back in the band. But the album that comes out is a little strange. It's not like Motley Crue.
Yeah, this one took me by surprise, the Generation Swine album. I didn't really know what to make of it. It was a grower on me, for sure.
I liked the single. I remember when the single came out on radio talking about the song Afraid. I liked that.
Afraid was good. Yeah.
But then it had, I don't know, this to me, this album I think could be an amazing Motley Crue record if it was done in Motley Crue's style. Mm-hmm. Like the style of, say, Saints of Los Angeles or Dr. Feelgood or even New Tattoo. You know, real Motley Crue style. This was Motley Crue not really being Motley Crue. You know, it was kind of Vince Neil trying to do John Corabi songs.
That's a good way of putting it, I think. Know? Yeah, I agree. It sounds like the album was begun with that in mind, and then Vince came in and, like, I think the Elektra Records people, it's obvious. They were pressuring the band to get Vince back involved
because
the Corabi era stuff, as much as we love it, didn't sell very well. And they were like, we got to go with what makes the money. So they brought Vince back, and they probably were like, we have so much material, we're not going to ditch all this material to write straight-ahead rockers like we used to.
Because it's not like Vince Neil's going to come in and write any songs.
Probably not.
Nikki Sixx writes them all.
He wrote most of them.
You know, so he wrote these songs with John Corabi. And, you know, the thing is it just doesn't work because Vince Neil Motley Crue is an entirely different band than John Corabi Motley Crue. Entirely.
Right.
You know, but we'll get into that a little bit later on because we'll see who draws that one. But beyond that, there's some great songs on this album. Not necessarily what you expect from Motley Crue, but great songs nonetheless. Going to give you a little taste of this one off of Generation Swine, 1997. Merry Christmas. This one's a beauty.
Decked out like an hourglass. Ammonia and a razor blade. Things were just okay. I will
Thoughts with Nikki Six.
Hey man, somebody's got to snort, somebody's got to drink, somebody's got to go to bed, tell the squirrels it's a hard life.
Listen to the Decibel Geek podcast on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones with Stitcher. Stitcher's smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hi, this is Nikki Six's Out of Body Experience, and you're listening to the Decibel Geek podcast.
Man, what a rocking Christmas party this is, hosted by one and only Decibel Geek Podcast. This is awesome, man. Very Motley Christmas.
I know, it's different for me, but I figured, you know, we're trying to get in the Motley Christmas spirit, so, you know, I've got the razor blade and the mirror out.
It's,
you know,
not
we're,
hard.
We're celebrating.
It's not hard to get into the spirit of Christmas when Motley Crue is rocking this hard. Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're in the spirit.
Yeah.
And then next week we'll be telling the story about how you were dead for 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Oh God. Yeah, we just passed the anniversary of that.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, we're here to celebrate Motley Crue. We're not gonna say talk negative.
It's
about
Christmas.
Because there's some great music they've put out on record. So,
and ultimately, that's what it's all about.
That's what we're all about
here on the podcast. So
yeah,
you know, let's pick some great songs. Which album did you draw next?
Proud to draw the 1994 self-titled album.
Love it. I love that album.
Me too. And I'm not a Motley purist where, you know, I have to only like the Vince stuff. This is a great album and totally has got completely overlooked.
You know what?
Have.
I'm a Motley purist and I should only like the Vince stuff. Yeah. But I look at this as a different band.
Yeah, I mean,
I really do.
Band. It's a great band. You know,
like even in my iPod, I've got Motley Crue and then I've got John Corabi with Motley Crue.
Really?
Yeah, totally separated.
Well, and it may have worked in their favor had they named it something else.
I wish they would have. You know, if they would have took the same, you know, concept as they did with Brides of Destruction,
yeah,
or 6 A.M.,
right,
you know, or 58 or any of them other bands that Nikki Sixx had done. But I guess, you know, again, that was probably record company BS,
yeah,
you know.
One of my favorite stories about the making of this album was the original working title of this album was Till Death Do Us Part.
And how ironic.
Well, also, and when they were making the album, that was still the title, Corabi went out and had that tattooed on his body.
Youch.
And then they changed the name. So they probably should have named it that.
That's like if you're a football player playing for a team and you get your team logo tattooed on your arm, and the next day they're shipping you off to Miami.
It's still, I mean, there's
or
a
worse,
great...
Kansas City.
Oh, don't even go there. Don't even go there. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great album, and there's a great song called Till Death Do Us Part on the album. But I'm not going to play that one, and I'm not going to play...
There's a lot of great songs.
I'm not going to play Hooligan's Holiday. That's an obvious choice.
I could go for any one of these songs.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff on there.
A dart at this album, and whatever song it lands on, it's going to be awesome.
Well, here's the one that my dart landed on. This is Poison Apples.
Sex, smack, rock, romance.
Poison Apples off the album that was originally titled Till Death Do Us Part, but in reality meant Till Low Record Sales Do Us Part.
Yeah, that's the way it went for him, and that's too bad because, you know, looking back in retrospect, I recommend this album to anybody. There's not a bad song on the whole thing.
Nope. And, well, one of the big reasons I originally had the idea for this show was, like, I want to play stuff off records like this that people missed out on because it really deserved more attention.
That's what it's all about because, yeah, you're right. So, you know, let's keep on going. Let's keep on going. It's a very motley Christmas here at the Decibel Geek Podcast. We're drawing albums to see what we're going to pick. So what do I got next? Saints of Los Angeles from 2008. Motley Crue's latest, if you don't count the single Sex, that just came out, which, you know, you were bagging on that a couple of weeks ago. I like it. I was listening to it just the other day. I dig it.
It's not for me.
Saints of Los Angeles. One of my favorite Motley Crue albums.
Oh, really?
I mean, have you given this album due? I mean, this album is killer.
I like it. I could have done without some of the autobiographical stuff with it. I mean, the music's great. The lyrics are a little...
You got to remember, though, with Saints of Los Angeles, the original working title was The Dirt, and it was supposed to be kind of a soundtrack.
Well, if that movie ever gets made, it'll be great. But
I remember years ago when they were talking about, you know, who might star as, you know, Vince Neil, who might star as Nikki Sixx. And now it's like, you know, where's this movie at everybody was talking about?
I remember one point they said that Johnny Knoxville was going to be Nikki Sixx and Ashton Kutcher was going to be Tommy Lee. And I could actually see both of those guys doing that.
I could too. That'd be a good fit.
They need to make that damn movie. If Kiss can make Detroit Rock City, then surely Motley can make The Dirt.
And what a cool movie it would be.
It would be amazing.
I'd love to see it.
And Christopher Walken was supposed to play Ozzy.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Could you see him snorting a whole line of ants while wearing women's underwear?
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could.
I'd pay good money to see that.
Yes, I would. I'd love to see that movie. Damn it, hurry up.
Well, since this is the soundtrack to a non-made movie, what song are you going to pick to it? Kind of like Music from the Elder.
Yeah, kind of. This one, check it out. It's right about in the middle of the album somewhere, so you know what period this is covering in their autobiography. This one's called Just Another Psycho. Yeah.
Want to be a member of the Decibel Geek Army?
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
Join us on our fan page at facebook.com/decibelgeek.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Tommy Lee.
What color panties are you wearing?
Man, it feels good to be spending Christmas here playing some Motley Crue songs in this giving spirit. Yeah, this is awesome.
We should have done this sooner. I like doing spending Motley songs, you know.
And it's easy. It's fun for us just to kick back, and we can enjoy the music just as much as everybody else. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Good feelings, Christmas time, and Motley effing Crue.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, it mimics kind of, you know, our childhood, too.
Yeah, it does.
When, you know, their first album came out when I was, like, what, six?
Every time so. I draw a new album out, it's like, yeah, I know this one, you know, because Motley Crue's one of them bands that, for me personally, are so good. Mm-hmm. And I've liked them from the first moment I've heard them way back when.
Yeah.
And have kept up with them. I'm sure I've bought every album when it was new.
Well, my next pick was from Theater of Pain.
I had that on LP.
June 21st, 1985. I had the cassette tape that a friend of mine gave me, and I used to try to hide it from my parents. Not that my parents were some crazy fundamentalist or anything, but I grew up in the South, and this...
It
was the pentagram, and Motley Crue at this point, they're kind of scary looking. They were glammy looking, but there was like kind of a dark undertone to what they were doing.
They were also evil.
Yeah, and like, I mean, kids used to say, oh, they're Satan worshipers and
everything. Yeah, because why else would they put something like that on their cover?
Yeah, and then the comedy and tragedy faces on the cover. I love the album cover. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is one of the coolest, most recognizable album covers ever.
And, you know, the obvious hits, you know, Smoking in the Boys Room and Home Sweet Home are great songs. This was a huge breakthrough. It's funny because I researched on some of the fan boards and stuff, and it's like, this album doesn't get as much love as you would expect from the diehards. But,
no, not really. It's not one of my favorites either.
Really? Maybe it's because I have a personal attachment to it, because I remember listening to it when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here, though.
But, you know, and I really, really, really wanted to pick Louder Than Hell, but in truth, that'd be a cheat, because that was a song from the Shout at the Devil session, so I'm not going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Because it was called Hotter Than Hell right?
Yeah. It was, and then probably their lawyer said, you may not want to do that.
Yeah.
So you may want to change that. But and it was hard to pick one, because I like a lot of songs on here. I mean, I like Louder Than Hell. I like... Keep Your Eye on the Money.
Yeah.
Let's see, Use It or Lose It's pretty cool.
There's something with the production on this album, I think.
Well, this goes back to Tom Werman again. You know, it's that kind of that sterile sound, you know. But I think it gives them kind of a punk edge to their songs, you know. It's not quite as heavy as it could have been, I know.
Right.
But it's not Bob Rock production for sure.
No.
But I went with this one. This is a cool track. I like this song. This is Tonight, and in parentheses, We Need a Lover.
Pleasure victim, her name.
Christmas time.
I know this is a fun one. I hope the Motley fans listening to this are enjoying it, because having a fun time putting it together.
I got a good feeling that a lot of people are going to be sitting around on Christmas Day opening Christmas presents and not listening to Christmas music. They'll be listening to this.
I don't know though. This is
right.
Actually, no, they won't. This comes out a couple of days after Christmas.
Oh,
it'd be dumb to release this on Christmas.
Well, you can enjoy it after Christmas,
yeah.
Then.
Let it get you through the new year.
Enjoy the Motley Crue that you've wanted to hear all along. You wanted a whole episode dedicated to Motley Crue, and
yeah.
We couldn't agree with you more. So, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to us.
Yeah.
Let's keep the Motley Crue rolling. My turn next, and I drew New Tattoo. Came out in the year 2000. This is an album. Don't have Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee's out there hipping and hopping.
Ugh.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Moving and shaking.
That's about all I have to say about that.
M-O-M.
Yeah, mom.
Goofball. We're trying not to get negative. I love Tommy Lee. Tommy Lee, one of the greatest drummers of all time, but absent on New Tattoo. He's out doing his own thing. But
he had a good replacement.
You know, yeah, really good replacement. I mean, if you're going to replace Tommy Lee, that's pretty tough. Pretty tough to do. But they found a man to fill the shoes, and that's Randy Castillo on this album, the late Randy Castillo. Rest in peace. This man was a rock and roller, played for Ozzy and everybody else. And New Tattoo, well, after Dr. Feelgood, and they came back and they had the John Corabi experiment, we call it that. Then they did the whatever experiment you want to call Generation Swine.
Yeah.
And then it's time to actually put out a Motley Crue album that sounds like Motley Crue again, and that's what you get with New Tattoo, except no Tommy Lee.
Yeah, this was more of an attempt at going back to their roots.
Yeah, for sure.
I think as much as I love Randy Castillo as a player, and I've mentioned this on an episode before, Tommy Lee was missed.
For sure.
You could tell. But Randy did do a great job. And as a straight-up rock album, it's a great album.
It is a great album. I remember when it came out working at a club where I was playing live music, and I'd slip this in once in a while, and people would always come up and say, "Is that Motley Crue? What is that?" Say it's brand new, you know, at the time. And they're like, "No way, Motley Crue's got a new album out in the year 2000.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Motley Crue.
And had a beefier sound with, because they brought producer Mike Klink up on board to do it.
Yeah. A lot of great songs I could have picked off this one, but I'm going to go ahead and go with this. It's a good, hard rocking, no doubt about it which band this is. Here's a song called Punched in the Teeth by Love.
If there's meat on the bone, she
right, Punched in the Teeth by Love off the new Tattoo album. I saw them on that tour. And it wasn't with Randy, though, because Randy got ill and ended up passing away, but it was with Samantha Maloney drumming for them.
Right. She drummed formerly with Hole and, I think, Smashing Pumpkins, right?
Right, right. Interesting to see a girl behind the drums, especially while there's two chicks making out on the front of the stage. It was a weird concert.
Vince Neil was making out with all of them backstage.
Probably. It was Motley Crue and Scorpions, and Scorpions were great.
Can we take a quick break? Can I tell you a really cool Vince Neil story?
Okay. I'm sure alcohol's involved.
This is something that this was years ago I seen this, you know, and this is a cool story that I could have told many times, you know, here on the Decibel Geek podcast, but I've been saving it for something special, and I just remembered it now. When I was younger, I used to work at a place in central Wisconsin called Hereford and Hops, and it was a steakhouse. And it was a unique steakhouse where they needed maintenance people, and I was one of those. And so I would come in early in the morning before the place opened and basically prep the place to run for the day.
Yeah.
And Vince Neil was in town. He was doing a show. And he would come into the bar. His hotel was like basically right across the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And this place was known for its home brewed beer, and the stuff was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And he was sitting there, and I swear this is what he did the whole time he was there. He'd sit there and he'd drink his beer.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, people are coming up and he's signing autographs and being real cool with people. Yeah. And eventually a girl comes up and they'll start talking, and boom, they're gone.
Yeah.
A little while later, Vince Neil comes back by himself.
Yeah.
Sits at the bar, people come up, talk to him, he signs autographs, real cool, gracious,
wash,
and everybody.
Rinse, repeat.
Another chick comes up, he starts talking to her, boom, they're gone.
Yeah.
What ends up happening at the end of the day was the main head manager had a girlfriend that worked there, and she had basically slept her way to the top. But she was tall, blonde, you know, could have been a model. This girl was gorgeous.
Right.
And, you know, people are coming up to Vince, talk to him, he's signing autographs, being cool. She comes up to him, boom, they're gone. Yeah. The poor guy didn't find out about it till the next day, but hey, Neil's on to the next town by then. But Vince Neil, that's all it took. It was amazing to see this man in action because the girls would just come up to him, he'd take them back to the hotel, they'd go do their thing, he'd be on his way back.
Wow.
And it was like you say, you know, you could have timed a clock, you know, set a clock by it. It was amazing. These women just on him and back to the hotel.
Yeah, I do that every once in a while.
Do you? You just show up the bar and
you
got to rent a hotel room next door.
My wife's like way in the other room right now. That's total bullshit. Like,
bullshit. Yeah. But that's a true story about Vince Neil. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Ladies,
and when,
man.
What year was this?
Jeez, this would have been back in probably not too long after that album came out.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even at that age, still pulling tail like you wouldn't believe.
Absolutely. He's Vince Neil.
That's right.
That's what he do.
Well, I'm going to make a transition from Vince back to John Corabi for my next pick. The album, there was a, let me get my notes up real quick. There was an EP that came out that by the Crue in 94. Now, it was called Quaternary. And the reason it's called Quaternary, the definition of Quaternary is of, relating to, or consisting of four units or members.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is it was initially going to be called Leftovers, and it was made available as a mail-in offer to purchasers of the people that bought the 94 Crue album. And it was in a limited quantity to 20,000 copies.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people own this.
By the time we found out about it up in Wisconsin, they were gone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I still have my digital version. I had the physical version, and I lost it in a move. But I loved it back then. And the reason it's called Quaternary, the EP features one song from each member of the band.
It's like Kiss's solo albums all on an EP.
Planet Boom was Tommy's.
Yeah.
Bittersweet is Mick's.
You could tell with that Planet Boom where he was headed with the old.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can hear
stuff.
The influence. And then Father from Nikki and Friends from John Corabi. And then the song that I want to pick is Baby Kills, which was the only song performed by the entire band.
Yeah.
On the CD, but on EP. So I think people will dig this. This is a great track. This is Baby Kills from Quaternary.
Yeah.
question, comment, request, or legal threat? Call us on our voicemail hotline at 540-DB-GEEK-1. That's 540-324-3351.
It's a very motley Christmas right here on the Decibel Geek Podcast. I love it.
I do, too.
I love it. This is fun, man.
I'm a man, a few words right now. Sorry you caught me in a weird
We're moment. Just, you know, taking it easy. It's Christmas time. You're supposed to take it easy.
Yeah. It's fun. Everybody talks about taking it easy during Christmas time, but, man, other than the time we have to do the show, I don't get to relax much. So,
well, no, that's why we're relaxing.
It's a welcome
now.
Distraction.
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, you wanted it all year, so we're giving it to you, the Motley Crue special. Hope you like it.
I remember when we first started doing this, you know, when I first got involved at the very beginning, my buddy Cal Hintz back in Wisconsin, a guy I went to school with, was like, man, your show's really cool. You should do a Motley Crue special.
Yeah, we've
heard
it the
whole time. That was like one of the first things one of my friends had said to me when they'd heard it.
Yeah, you came on, I think it was episode 7.
Was it that far in?
Yeah.
Hmm.
6 or 7, but 2 of them were the Vinnie Vincent 2-part special.
Oh, yeah,
special.
That's right.
But still, though, I mean, now we're up to 64, 65,
is that what that is?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. We're getting up there.
We can't even keep track anymore. We're getting so old.
I know, and we have a lot of big plans for the new year.
Big time. So, yeah. I mean, we're looking at stuff where we're trying to schedule in stuff, and we're going to continue to do the same things that we've done this year, but we'll get into a little bit more of that next week. Right now, we're concentrating on having a very Motley Christmas.
Yeah. So you've got the next pick. We've got 2 big, big Motley Crue albums left. Which one do you got?
Well, my turn. I drew Dr. Feelgood. So many great songs on this album. Such a huge part of my childhood, as well as I know yours.
Oh, yeah.
And many of the people that listen to the Decibel Geek Podcast.
This
album is what it's all about. This is the Motley Crue, I think, you know, for the most part, maybe other than Shout at the Devil, probably their most popular album.
Yeah, I'd say it was. And they were so big around this time. I vividly remember how big they were. I mean, like,
Motley Crue t-shirts
everywhere. And
everybody had a copy of this
and
cassette.
All the girls loved them. I remember that. I think
that was a part of the music of Motley Crue that made me like them so much.
I know,
was seeing how the girls reacted to Motley Crue going, yeah, man, I wish girls reacted to me the way they react to this music. They listen to Crue and they get all turned on.
You'd get your copy of Metal Edge and the girls would be ripping out the pictures of Vince. And
yeah, hanging them on the inside of their lockers
and just drooling over them. Yeah. I was like, man, the chicks really like Motley, you know. And this was probably, I guess, the height of their commercialized success. And,
For sure.
Sold more than 6 million copies in the U.S. only to date.
Wow.
You know, produced Bob Rock. That guy knows how to make millions.
He does.
He's he gets slagged on. People say, oh, it's too slick of the production. I'm sorry. I think he makes a band sound awesome.
But this is the quintessential Motley Crue song, or sound.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the album. Like, if you were going to say to somebody who's never listened to Motley Crue before, you know, here, listen to this, you're probably going to hand them Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, I'd like to hear, like, Too Fast for Love re-recorded with Bob Rock with these Sonics.
I'd like to hear Generation Swine redone that.
We'll take out all of the synthesizer keyboards.
All the bullshit and just straight up rock.
But
that's awesome.
It's a great album.
So many great songs to pick from it. I picked one, like you said, this is the Decibel Geek Podcast, so I'm not going to play, you know, Same Old Situation. I'm not going to play Don't Go Away Mad. I'm not going to play
Time for Change.
Going to play Time for Change. This is actually, to tell you the truth, my favorite song off the album. And a little secret for the people back in central Wisconsin, a lot of them know, I was a strip club DJ at one time. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you finished that with DJ.
For a short period of time in my career, I DJed at a strip club. And one of the things was, if there was a girl there that really didn't know what she was doing, was unsure of herself, this was the song I could play for her to start out. You can dance to this. Any girl can dance sexy to this. So crank this one up. Off of Dr. Feelgood in the year 1989. Going way back for this one, Sticky Sweet. Takes me back to when I was a young single man working at that strip club. Sticky Sweet. What a great song. What woman can't dance sexy to that, right?
On our way out, before we do the last song and last album discussion, want to thank everyone for listening. Thank all new listeners. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/decibelgeek. Like us on there. Get links to the exclusive bonus track that we do on SoundCloud. Go to iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review. That helps us a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know, you take time listening to the show. As you know, like you said, we're free on iTunes. So we're free. So you're free to leave us a response. Love us, hate us, whatever. Put it on there.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just love us.
If you're on Twitter, go follow us at Decibel Geek Pod. We want to build up that Twitter follower list. We're using it more now.
You know what we're doing here. We're creating a local music scene out of a worldwide audience. Did I get it right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, should I try it? Yeah, I can do it.
What's the website address?
Nope. Oh, that one's easy. It's www.decibelgeek.com.
That's right.
Simple as that.
Okay, so last album to talk about, Shout at the Devil.
It's been a very motley Christmas.
1983. This is a landmark album, especially for the 80s. This album
let's just go ahead and say one of the greatest rock albums of all time.
It's one of my favorites.
Mine too.
And something I noticed in research for this that I didn't know. Obviously, the Too Fast for Love cover is kind of a homage to the Sticky Fingers Rolling Stones cover, which I can get that because it looks pretty obvious. I didn't realize that they were following that up on Shout at the Devil with kind of a Let It Be spoof. It's kind of like the Beatles from Hell, you know?
Yeah, I guess I kind of see that.
Which, you know,
makes sense with Helter Skelter on there.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I didn't notice that before. I just thought it was a cool picture of the band. But
very cool picture. Those guys looked awesome back then.
Yeah, I like this.
Those guys were walking down the street. Would you mess with them? I'd be like, you know, not knowing any different, just like step out of the way, let them through. These guys are clearly here to kick some ass.
Mick Mars especially. He's pretty frightening back in those days. Well, he still kind of is. But yeah, it, you know, and there were some there's some obvious picks on here that I didn't go with. You know, the title track, Looks That Kill, Helter Skelter, Too Young to Fall in Love. A lot of
songs we've heard a million times.
A lot of people suggested Too Young to Fall in Love, and I would have played it.
It's a good song,
but we've played it on the show before. We're trying to
stay
consistent.
There were some songs on different albums too, and I realized I've played a couple of songs off of Saints of Los Angeles over the last year.
Yeah, and I played Smoke the Sky off of the 94 album once.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're trying to mix it up.
We do play our Motley Crue here on the Decibel Geek podcast. Hell, we're giving you a whole episode.
One. So
we're not complaining. We love it, too.
So, yeah, we're on the way out, but I wanted to pick track 4. This is a great track to end on. So, Merry Christmas, Motley Christmas, whatever you have, Aaron.
Very Motley Christmas. We want to thank you guys once again. You guys enjoy your holidays, whatever you're doing with your family, your loved ones. Have a good time, and don't stop rocking. We've got a whole nother year coming up, but we're going to talk about that next week. So let's round this out with our last Motley Crue song.
We'll see you later, you bastards.
fucking Brian, you haven't heard our fucking Christmas song.
Silent night, deadly night. Suck my dick till the end turns bright. Santa Claus is a fucking homo.